Hey, this is Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope, and whether you listen every day or you just found us, we are so glad you're here. Well, today Rick begins a series called Preparing for Your Future, where he shares how God's destiny for your life is good and how you get to choose much of your destiny. Now let's jump right in. Here's part one of a message called Processing My Destiny.
Now, most people misunderstand the term destiny. They think that it means unalterable conclusion, that it's a fate, it's kismet, it's karma, that you can't change it, that you can't control it, that you don't have anything to do with it, that God just determined your destiny and it's going to happen no matter what you do. Nothing could be further from the truth. Folks, that's what Islam teaches. That's what Buddhism teaches. That's not what Christianity teaches. In fact, the Bible teaches two very important truths about your destiny. And you might write these down on your outline. The first one is that God's destiny for my life is good. A lot of times people think their destiny is bad, it's negative, it's bitter. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper," circle that word, prosper. "Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope," circle that word, "and a future." He says, my plan, my destiny for your life is a good plan. Now, you may have had a terrible past. You may have had a painful past. But the truth is, the story isn't over. You haven't come to the end of the movie yet. And God says, my plan, my destiny for your life is good, and it's going to give you hope. Now, the second thing is just as important, and it's this. I get to choose my destiny. Did you know that? The Bible says that you and I get to choose our destiny. God gives us a choice. In fact, you can miss the good destiny God has planned for you. It's not automatic. It's not just going to happen all, whether you want it to or not. It's not involuntary. You get to choose your destiny. Now, what I want us to do today is I want us to look at an event in the Old Testament that illustrates these two facts, that God's plan, God's purpose, God's destiny for your life is good, and that you're going to get to choose it. And we're going to look at the story of Joshua leading the children of Israel into the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the desert. Now, let me give you a little bit of background. Moses leads them out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and they're crossing around the desert. It should have taken 11 days to walk from Egypt to Israel. But because they didn't have the faith, they sent in some spies after about 2 weeks, and the spies, 10 of them came back with a negative report and said, we can't do it. There are too many tribes there already. They're too big. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. We can't do it. Only two guys, Caleb and Joshua, said, we can do it. And as a result, they said no. They were afraid to take the risk, and they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Now, in the two passages we're going to look at in Deuteronomy, the Bible tells us, and in Joshua, the Bible tells us that Moses is about to die. He's 120 years old. Joshua is the young recruit. He's a whole lot older now. And he's going to replace Moses, and he's going to lead them across the Jordan River into the promised land. And right before that happens, God says, your destiny is your choice. Look at this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 and following. God says, I set before you today life and prosperity, or death and destruction. That's the destinies you get to choose. Life and prosperity, or death and destruction. If you love the Lord your God, and you walk in his ways, and you keep his commands, then you'll live and you'll increase. Circle the word increase. You'll live and you'll increase, and the Lord your God will bless you, circle the word bless, in the land you are entering to possess. Now, here's my question. Would you like to live the kind of life where God says, you're going to really live, I'm going to increase what you do, and you're going to be blessed by me? Would you like that destiny? Yeah. I would like that destiny. And God says, it's your choice. Look at the rest of it. He says, but if your heart turns away from me, you will not live long in the land. In other words, what you do isn't going to matter a hill of beans. You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I have set before you, and here are the choices, life or death, blessing or curses. Now, choose life. Underline that. Choose life so that you and your children may live. Now, I want you to notice two things about this very powerful verse. First, God had prepared a destiny for the children of Israel. He said, I've already chosen this land for you. I'm going to give you this land. It's going to be the promised land. But, he says, you're going to have to possess it. I'm not just going to hand it to you on a platter. You're going to have to possess it. And he says, you have to make a choice. And he says that the choices we make, notice, affect our children too. The last phrase, choose life so that you and your children may live. In the next 10 years, it's going to be the most critical 10 years in your life so far. Some of you are going to get married in the next 10 years. Some of you are going to retire in the next 10 years. If you have a second grader, she will be graduating from college in the next 10 years. In 10 years. I mean, a lot of things are going to happen. This is going to be a critical junction in your life. And so we're going to look today at how do you possess your destiny? How do you prepare for the future that God wants you to live so that you're choosing life rather than death? You're choosing blessing rather than cursing. If you want to possess your destiny, you're going to have to do three things. If you want to do what God made you to do, if you want to have everything God made for you to have, and if you want to be what God made you to be, you're going to have to do three things. They're all in this very important chapter called Joshua chapter 1. If you have your Bible, you can open to Joshua chapter 1. The fact is, you have to do the same three things that God told Joshua to do in order to possess the promised land. Now, if you're interested in success, and I hope you are, I mean, what's the alternative? Failure. God did not make you to be a failure. God does not sponsor flops. God wants you to succeed in your life, being what he made you to be, doing what he made you to do, and having what he made you to have. But it's not automatic. You're not automatically going to be, do, and have what God made you to be, do, and have. You have to make choices. And if you're interested in success, you need to study Joshua chapter 1, because in it, it mentions the word success three times, and two guarantees of success are actually in this chapter. So you need to study it if you want to be successful in your marriage, in your family, in your career, in your education, whatever it is. Now, here's the first thing God tells Joshua to do in order to possess his destiny. Number one, prepare a plan. That's it. He said, you've got to prepare a plan. The future belongs to the person who plans for it and who prepares for it. It's that old cliche that we've heard over and over, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Planning is a spiritual activity. The Bible has a lot to say about it. The Bible tells us it's foolish not to plan, not to think ahead, not to know where you're going. And in Joshua chapter 1, God starts out with this, verses 1 to 4. After the death of Moses, the Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm giving you, and I will give you every place where you set your foot, just as I promised Moses. He's outlining his destiny. Your territory, listen, will extend from the Sinai Desert to Lebanon, and from the Euphrates to the Great Sea, that's the Mediterranean Ocean, on the west. Now notice, he's very specific here in outlining the borders of his destiny. Now I want you to notice a couple things about this in preparing a plan. First, you're never going to possess your future if you're stuck in the past. You're never going to prepare and possess your destiny if you're always looking backwards. And the first thing God has to say to Joshua is, Moses is dead. What do you need to bury in your life? What do you need to let go of? It's dead. It's over. You know, the most difficult thing to do is to keep a corpse from stinking. And it's also the most expensive thing to do. There's some things you need to let go of. There's some things you need to bury. And you cannot get on with your destiny if you're always thinking about the past. He says, Moses is dead. That era is over. Now, all the eras you've been through in your life are over. But that doesn't mean your destiny's over. You've got new eras and a new destiny. And then he says, get ready. I want you to circle that. Get ready to cross the Jordan River. In other words, you got to prepare. You got to plan it out. And again, he says, be specific. He says, here's where you're going to go. You're going to go from the Sinai to Lebanon. You're going to go from the Euphrates, which is over in Iraq, to Mediterranean Sea. Question, where do you want to be in 10 years? You're either going to have a destiny or you're going to drift. And if you don't have a destiny that planned out, that you want to go toward, you're just going to drift through the next decade. You know, I read recently a very famous study that reported this. 27% of all Americans have given no thought to the future. They've given no thought at all, 27%. About 60% of Americans have given some thought. Usually, it's only in the area of finances. They only give financial planning thought. They don't think about any other area of their life, 60%. Only 10% of Americans have ever given serious thought to their future. And only 3% of all Americans have a plan written down with goals, only 3%. Now, they went back and they studied these four different groups, and they discovered this, that almost all of the people who had no thought to the future were on welfare. They were welfare recipients, almost 100%. Most of the 60% who had given some thought to the future were barely making it, barely making ends meet. All of the 10% who had given serious thought were what you would call successful, all of them. And those with written goals were highly successful. They were the top achievers in the nation. In fact, those who had written down goals and plans were out-achieving all the others 10 to 1. 10 to 1. Now, it's interesting. They did a study between the 10% who had given serious thought and the top 3% who had actually written down goals and a plan. And they tested them, and they discovered that the successful and the highly successful, there was no difference measurably in their education or in their talent. The only difference between successful and highly successful was the top 3% had written down a life plan, had written down goals, had written down a way to go, moving toward their destiny. That's important. You know, a guy told me one day, he says, you know, Rick, you're just lucky that your book was a bestseller. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, maybe, but I'll tell you this. I find that the more I prepare, the luckier I get. Amen. And 12 hours a day writing and rewriting and rewriting was more than just luck. I did it for 7 months. Got up at 4:30 in the morning, and from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., I wrote on that book for 7 months without fail. It was a very disciplined thing. And the more I prepared, the luckier I got. Now, he says, get ready, plan it out. And then in verse 10, he says this. So Joshua ordered the leaders. And that's who I want to talk to today. I want to talk to you leaders. Ordered the leaders, go through the camp and tell everyone, prepare your provisions. In 3 days, you'll cross the Jordan, and you're going to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving for you to own. Now, again, notice here. God says the promised land is your destiny, but you're going to have to take possession. I'm not just going to hand it to you on a platter. This is not just a cakewalk. You've got to go in and take possession of it. He says, prepare your provisions. What's he saying there? He's saying, get your supplies ready. He's saying, pack your bags. Have you packed your bags for the next decade? Or are you just going to drift through it? Have you made any plans for where you want to be in 10 years? With your family, with your finance, with your life, with your career, with your relationship to Christ, with your small group, with your church, with your ministry, with all the things that God has given you. You know, this verse is one of my favorite verses, Psalm 20, verse 4. It's a prayer, and he says, may he, God, give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Did you know that verse was in the Bible? God says, I want to give you the desire of your heart. I want to make your plan succeed. Here's the problem. God can't make your plan succeed if you've never made any. Until you make plans, God can't make them succeed. So really, God is waiting on you. I give you a choice, life or death, blessing or curse. Now, the Bible has so much to say about the wisdom of planning. You go all through the book of Proverbs, it's filled. Solomon says, look at the ants. The ants are smarter than most people. They plan. They store up for the winter in the summer. He said, you know, most people, they're going to get to retirement, have nothing to live on because they're not making any plans. They're not saving. They're spending everything they've got. And Jesus said it like this. He said, no king goes to battle without first making a plan. Says it in Luke 14. And he says, no builder builds a tower without first making a plan. Do you have a life plan? Most people have spent more time planning their vacation than they have planning their lives. And I'm certain most women have spent more time planning their wedding than they plan their life. And yet the wedding is over in a day, and you got the rest of your life to live. And what have you done to plan that? We make business plans. Do we make life plans? Proverbs 20, verse 18 says this, don't go charging into battle without a plan. Now, since we don't know the future, we give God the right to change our plans. And that's why in the book of James, James says, when you plan, you should say, don't say, we're going to do this and this and this. Say, we're going to do this, this and this, if it is the Lord's will. In other words, I don't know what's going to be around the next turn. I don't know what's going to happen to my life tomorrow. But it doesn't mean I don't make plans because I don't know the future. God knows the future. I just give God the right to change my plans, and it doesn't upset me. But he still wants me to make plans, even if he has an intention to change them. Because he said, that's smart, that's wise. So how do you have plans that will succeed? How do you be successful in the next 10 years? Look at this verse on the screen. Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, then your plans will what? Succeed. Now, as your pastor, I am committed to your success. In fact, I pray for your success. In fact, I was praying for you this morning. And I was praying for those who are out of work and for those who need different jobs and for those who are going through financial and marital and physical and emotional tension. And I pray as your pastor, part of my job is to help you be the success that God meant you to be, fulfilling the destiny he has for you. And how do you do that? Well, he says right there, you commit your plans to the Lord. You commit whatever you do to the Lord, and then it will succeed. You surrender your plans. You make your plans, and they say, now, Lord, this is the best I could do, but I'm surrendering them to you, and I give you the right to change them, and I'm giving it all to you. That's the first step. You prepare a plan.
Thanks so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. You know, your prayers and financial support have a huge impact on millions of people here and around the world. So we really appreciate that. Thank you. And now Rick's going to share a letter from one of our listeners who says Daily Hope is making a real difference in their life.
You've heard me say before that it's not enough to just listen to God's word. You've got to apply it in your life. And that's what leads you to your purpose. Let me share a letter from Ibanga, who listens to Daily Hope in Nigeria. She wrote, Dear Pastor Rick, I want to express my gratitude to God for what he's done in my life through the Daily Hope broadcast. I listen to your podcast every single day, and your messages have blessed me immensely. I was a Christian who was living a compromising life, and as a result, I couldn't fulfill God's purpose for me. But through consistent application of the principles that you teach, I have been able to live daily for the glory of God. And I have also begun pursuing the dream that's been in my heart since I was a child of becoming a minister of music. Wow. Just think about this. If Ibanga had ignored God's word, she would have never been able to pursue her dream, the one that God had placed in her heart. You probably have a dream in your heart too. And what is the key that unlocks that dream? The Word of God. Now remember, no matter how much you study it, it doesn't matter if you don't apply, act on, and practice the Word of God.
The Bible says that without acting on the word of God, it just leads to pride. So let's walk together in humility and practice what we learn. God bless you.
Thanks so much, Rick. And if you'd like to let Rick know how much this broadcast has meant to you, how it's blessed you, please send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick looks so forward to reading those emails. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.